This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Welcome to April the 13th here on This Day in History. Tony Hubert, Armand Kachigian with you on lineupmedia.fm, bringing you all the events, the birthdays, and who kicked the bucket on this date, April 13th, throughout the annals of history.
All right, let's not tarry. I have to do the Ocho Man show today.
Well, you're going to be on Behind the Eight Ball today?
Yes.
Well, let's do a little corporate cross-promotion. What might you two fine gentlemen, you and your cohort, John Okabinjian, be talking about?
My sex life.
On Behind the Eight Ball.
It'll be a very brief show.
Okay.
All right. Okay, that's a shameless plug. Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Now, here's a year that I don't think we've ever discussed before. The year 1111.
Yeah, it doesn't come up often.
No, it doesn't. Henry V, he's crowned the Holy Roman Emperor.
Yeah, good for him.
What does it mean to be the Holy Roman Emperor? Like, give me. Here's the
You're
Pope,
the President. Of
here's the Holy Roman Emperor.
Well, the Holy Roman Empire was different. I mean, yeah. You know, but not the Pope.
But who's the more powerful man in that time? Henry V or the Pope?
I wouldn't hazard a guess in 1111. I don't know. Probably Henry V. I don't even know who the Pope was then.
But Pope still had an army.
Oh, a bunch of Swiss guards.
No. They used to have real armies.
Yeah, who cares?
You don't care?
No. This is Maundy Thursday. Talk about that. If you want to talk about religion, you know.
It is Maundy Thursday.
Last Supper.
Have you ever had your feet washed?
Yeah, I did.
Have you ever
washed
feet?
I never could figure out what the hell that was. No, but I've clipped toenails.
Well, you're a podiatrist.
By the thousands.
I thought you might.
I don't wash feet. I put them in the whirlpool if they really stink.
Oh, okay. Well, then you have. You've just used modern technology.
But I didn't have a Last Supper with my patients. Now, you know what Maundy comes from?
I don't know where Maundy comes from, but I've heard the term my whole life.
Derived from Latin.
Okay.
Command, I guess. And the command was love each other as you love yourselves or something like that. Some other nonsense.
No, it's not nonsense.
Some other socialist nonsense.
Don't you love me?
Not as I love myself, no.
Well, I don't know if you
love me. I tolerate you.
I don't know if you love anyone
love
as
me.
Much
yeah.
as you love yourself.
That's true.
Armand, on this Maundy Thursday,
pure
I say,
love for myself.
I have agape love for you. How
I think
about
I'm
that?
I'm going to go to my office and lock the door. I don't want to be disturbed.
You're awful.
All right.
We don't know that the actual date of the Last Supper was on this date, April the 13th, though.
No, it's on Maundy Thursday.
It varies, of course. We don't, about a week ago, one of the dates, April the 7th, came up. That's one of the possible dates they think of the crucifixion in line with the Passover.
How about his birthday? That came up about last week, too.
Yeah, it would have been in the spring as well.
Stick to Buddhism. It's a lot easier. All I got to do is sit under a tree in the lotus position.
I can't sit in that position.
Well, then you better.
That's what I like about being Catholic. Just as you're getting tired of sitting, you stand
up. Speaking of which, how come you don't have the little cross on your head?
It's not Ash Wednesday.
I didn't see it on Ash Wednesday either.
I didn't make it to Ash Wednesday.
Right. I bet you're going to eat meat tomorrow, too.
Damn right I am. Oof. You know, on Good Friday, I tend to. Now, you know why the eat
Saint
meat
Peter
thing.
Peter will have some words for you.
Fine. We'll discuss it. But the whole reason for not eating meat, that was to help the Italian fishing industry.
So?
There
that's,
is.
That's as good a reason as I can think of.
I'm
better than Catholicism.
At the expense of my chicken farmers here?
Are you and your chickens?
No. Sorry.
Didn't we go over Schechter versus United States yesterday? New Deal crap. Stick your hand in the coop and get the first chicken out and kill it.
All right,
let's go.
1613.
Enough of this theological discussion.
The American princess. I love that she's always referred to as a princess. How do we know she was a princess? But the Native American princess, Pocahontas, she is captured by Samuel Argall in, help me here, Armand, Passapattanazi?
Passapattanzi.
Passapattanzi, Virginia. I like that. You say that well. Passapattanzi, Virginia. Well, she is captured. She's going to be held for ransom so that some English prisoners will be returned by Pocahontas' father. And then she is brought to Henricus. Henricus?
I guess.
As a hostage.
I guess this is before she married, what's his name, and
yeah,
went John to England. And
Smith, and went to England. And
Rebecca. They made her Rebecca.
Yeah. That's,
and got smallpox and died.
And she, thanks for coming to England. Here's some smallpox.
And she met James I. That's fun.
It's not bad.
All right.
I mean, come on. You went from being, you know.
Yeah, you went from being whatever.
Well,
you went from Passapattanzi, Virginia, to London. That's moving up.
I'm not denigrating Native Americans, but you are living the natural life.
Yeah, who needs that?
And to make that jump from the natural life to an English court, an English monarch's court, that's about as far as you could humanly go on the scale at that time, I would think, right?
At this time, too.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've spent enough time on her.
1742, this little number.
Oh, we're going to hear it?
Let's hear it. I want to know what you think about it.
I'll check my stocks. You can play it all you want.
London Philharmonic brings you this.
Who's the conductor?
Let me see.
Really playing the most famous part here.
Tell me where the most famous part is. I just played it
at the beginning. I thought it was the Hallelujah Chorus. Isn't that the Messiah?
That sound familiar?
Yeah, that's getting close. No, yeah.
Are we getting there? We building up?
Yeah, Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah. That's what we always hear.
All right.
You're playing all the boring stuff.
Well, let me get to the Hallelujah Chorus here for you.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants to hear, I guess.
That's what I want to hear,
people that are still listening. I don't think we're going to have an audience now.
Oh, no, we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
You're somnambulizing everyone.
Let's see here. At Spectrum. Ah, see, you get the stupid ad.
Fort Sumter surrenders. Let's get the MoMA opens. 1870. Let's get on with this.
J.C. Penney.
James Cash Penney. Good name.
Opens his first. Check this out. Wyoming.
I didn't know that. That's a good one. Kemmerer, Wyoming.
All right, here you go. Hallelujah Chorus.
Here's your Hallelujah Chorus. Let's get to it. That's what everybody knows.
Hallelujah. 1742, yep. April 13th, world premiere, Dublin, Ireland.
Speaking of, since we're on a religious kick today, 1595, the Edict of Nantes.
Oh, yeah. I love the Edict of Nantes.
Well, you know what it did?
No.
Promulgated by Henry IV of France, who wasn't such a bad guy until they stabbed him to death.
Yeah.
What was that guy's name? I love that guy's name. The guy who killed him. I forget. I'll come up with it. We did a show on him.
We did?
Yeah, we talked about this. He jumped in his carriage. And
oh, that's right, he did.
Him.
What is that guy's name? He jumped in the carriage. Yeah. This was a real black ops.
Rabilac or something like that.
This is a real black ops mission, except there was no chance he was going to get away with it.
No problem, He didn't care. Anyway, but before that happened, this guy, you know, pretty benign emperor. He gave the Huguenots freedom of religion, granted them, you know, because they're Calvinists, I guess.
Yeah.
And he granted them the ability to worship.
To go and Calvinate.
The way they wanted, as they desired. And, of course, Louis XIV revoked this.
Yeah.
So.
Sun King wasn't shining on them, was he?
He was eclipsed.
Okay, further the religious theme, 1829, the Roman Catholic Relief Act in the United Kingdom will give Roman Catholics in the UK the right to vote and sit in Parliament.
Boy,
they had been out of the mix.
Henry VIII would have rolled over in his grave.
For nigh 300 years.
Had himself another ulcer on his ass.
And then, of course, we just mentioned in passing, Fort Sumter surrenders this day.
Yeah, that was a bunch of crap.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art,
Mr.
founded
Lincoln.
On this day in 1870.
MoMA.
And now, I still can't get over that. James Cash Penney. Jacques Penney.
Penny? It's Penny.
No,
it's Penne.
If you want to sound fancy, you say Jacques Penne. You know that, right?
The way you mangle the French language and the English.
Yeah. Well, I can mangle any language. Just send me one. But why Kemmerer,
you're
Wyoming?
Like, what's his name? Who are we talking about? Michael Curtis. You speak five languages.
None of them well.
All of them badly.
But Wyoming.
This time I would need an idiot to do something. It had to be myself.
It just had to be a general store type thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty why simple. Not?
But that caught on.
That's where the money is, okay? So the guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
open
no.
Wherever the hell.
Whenever there's
money.
Mining, here's rule number one. Don't go mining. Second rule, sell to the miners.
Third rule, open a whorehouse.
Preferably right. Open the general store next to the whorehouse.
Yeah, right. That's even better.
Eight.
Now that we've got parking, too, all that stuff. Okay.
1941, you got to explain this to me. The United States and the Soviet Socialist Republics, the USSR, they're going to be allies during World War II. But the USSR and Japan sign a pact of neutrality between each other on this date, again, 8 months before Pearl Harbor is going to happen.
Well, we've talked about why this happened. The Japanese were messing around in Mongolia. They were really entertaining ideas of
going up into the Siberian
land? Yeah, invading Russia, okay,
oh, wow.
Which they had some border wars, some clashes, and our old friend Georgi Zhukov.
Zhukov.
Kicked their butts at Khalkhin Gol, which is a very famous, not a famous battle, a battle that is not famous, but should be, because the Russians kicked their asses and the Japanese thought twice. Else, the Japanese probably would have invaded Russia instead of attacking Pearl Harbor.
So instead, they turned their efforts.
Things would have been a lot different. So they said, we don't want any part of
now,
these
they had
guys.
Already been through China and Southeast
they're
Asia. China.
They're in Mongolia. Yeah,
point.
They're on the border, you know, and they're playing around. And like I said, that Khalkhin Gol.
Yeah.
Was a battle in, I think, 1939, and Zhukov bloodied their noses pretty good.
What's the main desire for the Siberian? Is it the natural resources of just wood?
What the hell?
Or what the hell?
Yeah.
Because
you got to invade somebody.
But there's nothing up there other than trees.
I know. That's the question. I bet they could have taken Vladivostok and maybe got some concessions.
It's a nice port.
Yeah. You could always surrender, and then you get something out of them. Money, maybe.
Yeah,
rubles. I don't know, but.
1943, Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., on the 200th anniversary of this man's birth.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it.
Is commemorated.
There's really not much you can say about this guy. He's the greatest. So
I agree.
What can you say?
He's my favorite. We'll come back to him later.
Yep.
1953, we're going to talk about this one. Alan Dulles.
Yeah, brother of the Secretary of State.
Yes. Now, this is the one. This Alan is the one. Which one is the airport actually named for?
I think it's the Secretary of
State.
Right. What's his name? I can't think of it now. Alan Dulles and Eisenhower's secretary. They're brothers. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, he's the director of the CIA. They launched the mind control program, Project MKUltra.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one they made the movie about?
They've made all sorts of stuff. It's been done about this. And, in fact, I'm reading a book now. By the author.
Is it John Foster Dulles? Isn't that his name?
Check it out.
John Foster Dulles, I think, right?
The book is called Phenomena. And the subtitle is long, but it's basically about our government's, you know, sort of incursions into remote viewing, mind control, ESP.
John Foster Dulles.
And things like that. And the book is fascinating.
And that's who the airport's named after.
Yeah, Dulles International for John Foster, not for Allen.
Yeah.
So the book, and again, you have a book I know you're reading, Operation Paperclip by the same author.
Almost on page 8.
Annie Jacobson. Yeah, way to get through that book.
Yeah.
She's written a very good history on Area 51, which is not really about UFOs and aliens. It's really about the technology that was developed there. I highly recommend these books by this author, Annie Jacobson, but I'd really like to do a show with our friends at Surreal Talk, Everett and Eric Hicks, about the history behind these projects. They sent guys into Mexico looking for special mushrooms to try to get this mind-altering
stuff
going.
Well, don't
give
away too much. We'll discuss it on the show. Yeah,
just a little tease. I highly recommend the book, though.
A little soupçon.
I got about 2 chapters left. It's Phenomena.
All right, I'll take a look at it.
By Annie Jacobson. She also has a history of the Pentagon and the things sort of in the mind control area that they've done. She got about 4 really good books out there. Go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. check the Amazon banner. When you see it, click it and look for the author, Annie Jacobson. All right?
Good for you.
All right, okay. Birthdays today. Big one off the bat for me, Armand. The gunpowder plot, the man behind it, he was born on this date.
He really wasn't the guy behind it. I think Catesby's the guy that was behind it. I think Guy Fawkes planned.
He take the fall?
Yeah, well, no, he was in on it. But yeah. I think the ringleader was Catesby.
Catesby?
Yeah, we talked about that. Roger Catesby.
Guy Fawkes born.
But they call it, he got all the, you know, he's got the,
well,
the
he's got
publicity.
The, he's got the marketing.
And he's got the mask,
He's
too.
Got the mask. See, you need,
with this shit?
You need a good mask.
Yeah, I know.
Once you get a good mask, you're set.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure
ask any wrestler from Mexico.
Well, the one guy just died, George the Animal Steel.
Yes.
That was supposed to be like one of the most popular. Well, that wasn't his mask. That was the guy that he played, the guy in, remember Ed Wood?
Yes.
He played, what's his name, Tor Johnson.
Tor.
That's the mask. Yes. I think it's one of the most popular of all time.
Absolutely.
Wish I had one of those. That's a great mask.
Anyway, so the Guy Fawkes, born 1570. Speaking, what is the best mask of all time?
I don't know. That's a good
one.
I mean,
this one kind of becomes.
Frankenstein's a good mask.
It's got to be Frankenstein, though, right?
I mean, that's popular. Of course, that's Jack Pierce did that makeup.
He did the makeup?
Boris Karloff Frankenstein.
Yeah.
You know, so when Hammer made these movies in the 50s, they couldn't use any of that stuff. That's why Christopher Lee doesn't look like that. Because, yeah, he actually copywritten, whatever.
Yes.
You can't use that makeup. So only Universal has access to that.
If I go to a store today and buy a Frankenstein mask approximating the Karloff movie. Is a royalty going to Universal on that?
I don't know if it still does. Probably if they renewed it or whatever. But yeah, you couldn't do any of that makeup.
That really was
like the Wolfman too.
Yeah, well, that was really good. I thought the Wolfman was really good. I mean,
Jack Pierce.
But that was really revolutionary makeup at that time.
Well, I don't know about revolutionary.
Well, come on, how
imaginative?
How far had they taken it? I mean, that was. Guy had bolts coming out of his neck. It was great.
What was really but like the transformation at Frederick March in 1931, nobody could figure out. The guy used different filters on the camera.
Yeah.
And the makeup kind of changed.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
I need to see that.
Yeah.
Then.
And everybody's like, what? How the hell did he do that?
Oh, see, so, in camera trick, even better. All right. Well, anyway, that's
before the CGI crap.
That's what Guy Fawkes brings us. The gunpowder plot and.
Yeah, it failed.
And a hell of a mask concession that goes on to this day.
They blowed up Parliament real bad.
All right, let's talk about our boy, because TJ.
Like I said, there's nothing to talk about. Yeah,
I love him.
One of the most brilliant men.
I'm an unapologetic fan.
Yeah.
You can throw whatever you want at
me. Redhead.
About Thomas Jefferson, and I will nod my head and say I know. And let's move on.
Second vice president, third president.
Because the nation we live in today, I feel. Has been shaped more by this man than anybody else.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, if you're going to shape it by, it's probably John Locke, because all, you know, the Declaration of Independence pretty much is John Locke.
But Locke wasn't on the ground, was he? He wasn't on the ground here.
Yeah, but still an influence.
He's an influence. Yeah. But is Jefferson channeling all of this knowledge?
Well, when they could, you know, they get him to do it. He was a little lazy, you know.
A little.
And it was hot. It was July. You know,
yes.
It was June. So, hey, get on it, will you? And I think he's playing around with some chicks.
You ever seen the John Adams special on HBO where he turns in the first draft?
No, but I've seen 1776, the musical, where they.
And Franklin is kind of reading it and critiquing. And you can tell as Franklin critiques that Jefferson's ire is just getting raised and raised.
I don't know if that's true.
That was a good scene, though.
I don't think so. This guy revered Ben Franklin so much that I think anything Franklin said, he'd say, yeah. Because, I mean, remember when he was made minister to France?
Yeah.
And he said, "You're succeeding Benjamin Franklin." He said, "You're replacing him."
Yeah.
No one can replace him. Yeah, he had a lot of reverence.
If there's one favorite
Franklin.
Thing about Jefferson, what would it? What would it be?
That government is best that governs the least. That's my sentiment in a nutshell.
My favorite.
We've forgotten that.
My favorite would be, and this is attributed to him. Correct. Every so often, the government needs to be turned over.
Yeah, and fertilized in blood. Plowed over or whatever, and fertilized in blood. Mm-hmm. That's a comment that a lot of people think is a call to arms.
I don't. I
revolution,
just,
but at the time, I guess it was.
And who said government is like bed linens or needs to be changed?
I don't know, but that's good.
You know,
every so often.
I mean,
Well, and Kennedy said, remember when all those Nobel Prize winners were there?
Uh-huh.
This is the greatest meeting of minds since Jefferson dined here alone. they're having, you know, because they're having dinner or something. I don't know, yeah. But, the guy's an architect.
Yeah, all kinds. Exactly. I would have loved to have visited Monticello he lived there.
Well, yeah, he designed it. I think did he design some of the University of Virginia buildings or something? I don't know. He's president, I think.
He created the university.
That was him. I'm sure he did some of the buildings. Of course, nowadays, I'm sure they teach kids. The only thing about him is he's a slaveholder, and bangs Sally Hemings and all this. Lucky if he gets a page in these history books.
I have to go pick up my kid's history
book.
Yeah,
I'd like to see it. Bring it in
here.
See
what's in it. I really would, because he loves history. And
how old is he?
He's a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, I'd like
and
to see what
he really likes
these
history.
Kids.
I'd like to see what's in it. Because I bet I got 10 plus books on Jefferson at home.
I read somewhere that they had like half a page on Jefferson, like a full page on Cesar Chavez in this history book, in some history book. Yeah, that makes sense.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Butch Cassidy, 1866.
Wasn't his real name Leroy Parker, I think? I don't have any notes on this guy.
Leroy Parker.
I think that was his real name. It wasn't Butch Cassidy, of course. And that was the Hole in the Wall gang, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Wild Bunch. They call themselves the Wild Bunch, too. And we've all seen the movie. I don't know how accurate it is. Probably not very.
I don't care.
Who cares?
It's great.
Yeah, it wasn't
It's
bad.
Great. Hell, the fall alone will kill you.
Yeah, right. Can't swim. Yeah.
For all we know, and we've landed in the garden.
We
want to
join the army.
Yeah. I've got, now who's the actor who they meet up with in Bolivia? Butch and Sonja.
Oh, Strother Martin.
Oh, I've got morons. I've got morons on my team.
What
son
we have here?
Well, that's a different movie
yes,
now.
That's right.
Still
but
Paul
same
Newman.
Guy.
Still a Paul Newman movie, but yeah, the nobody is going to rob us coming down the hill.
Yeah, we're going to have the money. Yeah. Yep. Strother Martin.
1906, the birth of Samuel Beckett, Irish guy.
I don't get it.
You don't?
Ugh.
Okay.
Well, I've read Waiting for Godot, and I was like, what? That was that one of whatever Nobel Prize?
Let me tell you, I will recommend, if you want to watch something in the Beckett category, just watch Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, well, Waiting for Guffman is fun. What's that got to do with Beckett?
Well, it's based on Waiting for Godot.
Well, a lot of things happen in Waiting for Guffman. Nothing happens in Waiting for Godot, which is the whole point.
Well, in Waiting for Guffman, they're putting on the play and...
I guess.
The whole thing, they're waiting for the big critic who's the god
figure.
Yeah, it's
a funny
movie. Great.
This is terrible.
Well, that's why I'm recommending Waiting for Guffman.
Don't read. Yeah.
With Christopher Lloyd.
Don't go on Amazon and get Waiting for Godot.
Who's my Christopher, Fred Willard. And
Yeah, I know you're talking. Isn't that his name? What's his name?
It's not Christopher Lloyd. That's from Taxi.
Yeah.
I mean, they got it's a tremendous cast.
I don't know. Who cares? It's a good movie.
You know, they've done Best in Show. They've done For Your Consideration,
right.
Spinal Tap. Oh, it's good stuff.
All right. You made your point.
1939, this gentleman here born.
I'm not talking about what you did inside. You did what you had to do. I'm talking about now. From now, here, and now.
Holly, why would I want to get into that?
Don't make a jerk out of me. Just don't do it.
Don't make a jerk out of me.
See that right where he slaps him?
Oh, well, here we go. Well,
just don't do it. I want to talk to you about Jimmy. You got to watch out for him. He's a good earner, but he's wild. Takes too many chances.
No, I know that. I know Jimmy. You think I would take chances like Jimmy?
And Tommy, he's a good kid, too, but he's crazy. He's a cowboy. He's got too much to prove.
No, I know.
You got to watch out for kids like this.
Yeah, I know what they are. I only use them for certain things. So
listen,
you don't have to worry.
I ain't going to get fucked like Gribbs. Understand? Gribbs is 70 years old, and the fucking guy's going to die in prison. I'm warning everybody.
Where's the slap, damn it?
I'm waiting. It says here, Paulie slaps Henry Hill.
Just for saying hello to some fucker who was sneaking behind him.
Well, I like the profanity anyway.
I don't need that. Ain't going to happen to me. You understand?
Uh-huh.
You know that you're only out early because I got you a job.
Yeah.
And I don't need this heat. Understand that?
Uh-huh.
And you see anybody fucking around with this shit, you're going to tell me, right?
Yeah.
That means anybody.
Now, now that reaction was because he didn't know it was coming.
That's why it's real.
Yeah. Because that was ad lib.
You can see Ray Liotta look back like, what the f-?
Speaking of which, Ocho Man, I'll tell you this story, although he wasn't there because I opened a play, a few years ago, and I was Henry II in Lion and Winter, and I had some smart-ass kid playing the French Dauphin.
Okay.
Or I guess he was a king of France by that time, but he's just a little punk. And this guy, you know, he got a little out of line in the play.
Yes.
You know, we're in character.
Yes.
You're talking to King of England, brother, and I smacked that kid. And you should have seen his face. He didn't, because he didn't know. We had rehearsed for a month. And the first night of the, you know, the only true moment this kid had, he couldn't even remember his lines. He was so stunned. I hit him much harder than that. Because I remember the lines.
I love it.
Yeah. Don't ever call a king a liar to his face.
Oh,
and
God.
I whacked that kid.
So it reminds me of May You Rest in Peace.
And the
now.
Whole cast was on stage, too. Oh, everybody, you know.
Oh, it's beauty.
Yeah,
that's the director, wonderful.
Hey, don't hit him anymore.
Oh, it works.
Yeah, fuck it. Well, the very
let's
notion.
Let's find a new spot every night to hit him.
Well, at least that scene played the rest of the time because he didn't know if I was going to do it or not. So at least he was like a little bit.
He was on edge.
Yeah. Now the guy's not acting anymore. He's like, am I going to get smacked?
How about Paul Sorvino? He is the emotional bedrock of Goodfellas.
Oh,
he really is.
Whatever that means.
No, he is. He is the, for lack of a better term, he's the Greek chorus of the movie. Because he's telling these three, you're not doing it right. You're going to get us all in trouble. You're not doing it right. And what happens? Yeah. They all go down.
Well, that's called the little foreshadowing. And
they
know.
All go down.
Yeah.
Tommy goes down. Henry goes down.
Yeah, Paulie didn't have to move at all.
Paulie. Okay.
He was smart. Nothing on the phone.
What a great actor.
Yeah, like
what
Paul
a great actor, Paul Sorvino. Man, oh, man. Nice daughter, too.
Yeah, Academy Award winner.
She won an Academy Award kind of unexpectedly. Another good actor, 1942, Bill Conti. I'm sorry, composer-conductor,
yeah,
Bill Conti.
All right.
19.
Now, here's a great actor.
Tony Dow.
Yes.
Leave It to Beaver fame.
God, that guy's 72?
Oh, that's crazy.
Holy shit.
That is crazy.
Well, hell, he was I guess he was 14, 15 when the show was on. Okay.
Yeah. You got to fit. Did you watch Beaver at all?
Yeah, I've seen them all. I like the one where he's in the coffee cup. They were better as they got older, though, because Wally got in more trouble. You know, I mean,
yeah,
when he was
did.
In high school,
yeah.
And Lumpy and Eddie,
Eddie,
and I could do without Beaver. His,
yeah,
the shit he got into was fun.
Beaver became almost a side
yeah,
character.
Because, yeah, the high school stuff was much better.
Absolutely.
Much
Absolutely.
More funny.
Absolutely. Al Green, born 1946.
Nice voice.
Ron Perlman, a good character actor again. Latest success was Sons of Anarchy.
Okay, is he on it?
Yeah, yeah. Big character on that one. 1951, Max Weinberg, a drummer for the E Street Band.
Oh.
You didn't know that?
No, never
oh,
heard
yeah.
of him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Max is a big deal. He's also drummer on one of the late
Not
night TV shows, Conan O'Brien.
Okay.
He was drummer there.
Sounds like a nice Jewish boy. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
Okay.
Great drummer. And 1963,
so
Gary.
He's not celebrating Maundy Thursday with
no.
us, I assume.
Okay. No, he's celebrating Passover this.
Good for
1963, Gary Kasparov.
He's got a little Armenian
there we
in him.
Go. Yes,
he's
he does.
One of our favorite chess players.
Yes, he does. Where would you rate Kasparov?
Top 10.
Top 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Who would your number one be?
Fisher.
Number two?
Ooh, Paul Morphy, probably.
Where would
Steinitz?
Where would
Paul Morphy
come in?
Beat Steinitz. And Steinitz dodged Morphy. He was.
Where would Steinitz come in? And where
Steinitz
would
Lasker,
where would Spassky come in?
Spassky's not in the top 10.
Not even in the top 10.
I don't think
okay.
so. These are old timers, though. I mean, you know, it's hard to compare, but I'd say Steinitz is in there.
Yeah, but the one thing about
Alekhine,
the one
thing Raul about, Capablanca.
The one thing about chess, though,
what
keep this in mind. I think you can compare eras because of this. The equipment don't change.
Yeah, but the games do. And
the
it,
game
they
evolved.
Had a different, they had
but
a,
like, for instance, you cannot compare a PGA golfer today to Ben Hogan because the equipment and the ball are completely different.
Yeah, but I'd put it this way, though. But you can't compare pitchers today with guys from the dead ball era when these guys
–
that ball didn't go anywhere. That's how they played. Now, back then when they played chess, it was hell for leather, and your guy was always playing to win. They're always playing this wide-open shit. Now,
but that's evolution of the game. That's not
what I'm saying, though.
But
they don't play that way anymore.
Okay, that's fine. But the queen didn't physically change.
Well, neither did neither tennis either. But you can't compare.
The hell it didn't. The ball evolved. The rackets evolved.
All right, I don't buy that. They play a different game these days.
I get that.
Well,
that's
what I'm saying. But yeah, but the people evolved, which is even more. The thought evolved in chess. There's a big difference on the way people play. Now they're not going for – back then they didn't go for draws and all that stuff. And, you know, 15 moves ahead, if it looked like they're going to lose a pawn, they gave up, whereas those guys would play. And I don't know, it's just – believe me, it's a different game, much different.
But the equipment's the same.
That's true, yes.
Okay, give me that one.
Okay.
I think you can compare eras better in chess than any other thing. Because then we get to the real crux of the matter, which is strategy, which is exactly what you're highlighting, the difference between going to win and the guys who come out and play for a tie.
It's tougher to – you can't compare that. I mean, really – that's like playing hockey and just staying in your zone or whatever. You're not even trying to score a goal. You're just passing back and forth like soccer.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, it's like
they don't play the same way.
It's like parking the bus in soccer. Yeah.
Whatever they call it.
It's parking the bus.
It makes it tough to be – it's tough to rate a team if all they do is sit back and play around and, you know, whatever. Whereas back then they were just going hell for leather all the time. So they had some great wins and some
– Has the rules of chess changed any?
No. I'm just talking about the philosophy.
Okay.
But that makes a difference.
So the equipment and the rules have not changed. Every other sport –
Soccer you're talking about? What's changing soccer?
The offsides, one.
Not the equipment, though. That's a rule.
Ball's much different.
Okay.
Go kick a ball from 1930 and kick a ball today. It's like kicking a feather.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm telling you, that's the same thing with chess, though.
So the queen is a feather?
No. It's just the philosophy is totally changed.
The philosophy. That's
strategy.
But we're
talking about comparing people. You can't compare people because they don't think the same way. This is a game of thought.
Yes.
All right. The thinking has changed. So how do you compare? That's like
calling. That's what I'm comparing.
Well, football is a game of physical, you know. These guys are much more big and brutal.
Rules have changed.
Right.
Rules have changed consistently.
That's not the rules so much. It's they're big and bruising guys.
Well, that's true. That's true. But but that's what I want to compare, the difference in thought and strategy. That, to me, is interesting.
Plus, I'll tell you something else. They have all these openings now that everybody knows to the 15th move. They didn't have that stuff back then.
Yeah, the analytics, I imagine, on chess are absolutely remarkable.
Well, these guys know all this stuff.
Right, right. Yeah, and I wonder if that started with Fischer even.
Well, Fischer knew. I mean,
especially in the Icelandic match where he, you know,
he moved off things and
when he would intentionally, he would go away into some crazy move right off the bat.
That's my top five. I don't know.
Very good.
Okay.
All right. Back to the events that happened on this date.
Next,
This is I never knew this came this early. The first satellite navigation system is launched on this date, April 13th, 1960. It's the Transit 1B.
I got to look that up. That doesn't sound right. Or I don't know what it does. Satellite navigation in 1960?
Pretty impressive. Yeah, 1960.
Whatever. Okay.
The 1964, Sidney Poitier wins the best actor. Of course, that's Lilies in the Field.
Sidney Poitier.
Of the Field. This is the first African-American male to win the best actor at the Academy Awards. And do you remember this little scene?
He beat the chap.
Amen.
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 I thought you were going to give him the scene where he's teaching him English.
I like this one. Well, the scene where he's teaching him English is just before this.
Amen. Amen.
I like that. I stands up, y'all. I sit down. He's Homer Schmidt. Interesting thing. He was, you know, he won Best Actor that year.
Yeah.
He played a guy named Homer.
Mm-hmm.
Melvin Douglas won Best Supporting Actor for playing Homer Bannon.
What movie was that?
HUD.
HUD.
Yep.
One of the
Newman
H films.
I don't know if there's ever been another occasion where the Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor
both had
the same name. First name.
That's very good.
Because he was Homer Smith, and they called him Hans Schmidt, remember?
Hans Schmidt.
Yeah, because they were Germans, those nuns. Good movie.
1970, on this date, it all goes wrong for Apollo 13.
We've had a problem.
The oxygen tank aboard the command capsule explodes, and the crew put in danger, of course. Great damage to the craft. And they had to basically wing it, fix it on the fly.
Yeah, pretty amazing they made it.
And it's to be honest, I know, you know, the NASA people would probably say Apollo 13 was a failure. From one aspect, it was a remarkable success and ingenuity that they were able to fix the problem and get back alive.
Yep.
I mean, that, and the movie's a good movie. But again, that phrase, Armon.
Oh, are we done with births? Because I had a couple births.
Oh, I'll go back to births for you in a second.
Anyway, let's get
back.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, with that phrase, Houston, we have a problem.
We've had a problem.
We
went over that too.
There you go. All right. You had a couple more birthdays.
Oh, you want to do it now?
Yeah. Who do you got?
All right. I got Stanislaus Ulam.
Ulam?
Yeah.
This sounds electrical.
No, mathematician, physicist. He did some of the explosive lenses for the Manhattan Project. I bring him up because all the designs.
What's an explosive lens?
Apparently, it's the lens that makes the implosions exactly
synced up. Because you have to have it all from all sides.
Yeah, and that's not easy to do.
To get that.
So they use lenses, this guy apparently and von Neumann.
And you're trying to compress the matter at exactly the same rate.
You're squeezing a ball of plutonium, and it's got to be exact.
So from all 360 degrees.
Yeah, more than that. It's spherical.
Spherical, so it's infinite. Whatever. But it has to be compressed.
Exactly.
Because if one side goes too fast, you're not going to get the
fizzle.
Yeah, you're going to get fizz.
So he helped with that, and von Neumann. But
that's a remarkable feat.
Then he went on, though, he worked with Teller on the super, the hydrogen bomb, and all thermonuclear warheads right now are this design.
Really?
Called the Teller-Ulam design.
So the
Have fission, fusion, and fission.
That's 70-year-old technology?
Yep. Wow. Still use the same thing.
Wow.
So
okay.
There it is. That's why I bring him up. And then, of course, I don't know if you've heard of this gal, 1919, Madeline Murray O'Hare.
No.
American atheist. Yes. Famous. She's the one that's in 1963 got the banned reading the Bible in schools, kept, you know, totally anti-prayer in schools, big feminist. Didn't end up real well. One of her own people, one of a typesetter or something working for American Atheist Society or whatever society. Thought she had some money, grabbed some money, killed her granddaughter, and her son.
Well,
chopped them up real good. It took them years to find them.
There is no thou shalt not kill or steal that side of the ledger.
I think I'm not sure about it. I got to look at this, but I think she might have been the first guest on the Donahue show, on Phil Donahue.
Well, that would be fascinating.
I'll look that up, but I think that's a trivia question. Yeah.
How do you think Phil handled the audience that day?
Yeah, I don't know who was in the audience, but. Let's see.
Running up and down the aisles.
Is that a first? I mean,
what do you have to say to this woman who doesn't believe in God?
Well, a lot of people, a lot of people don't. That's for Donahue. Let's see. Okay, go ahead.
All right.
She was more 1919.
1974, Western Union, in cooperation with Hughes Aircraft and also with NASA, they put up the first geosynchronous communication satellite. That's called the Westar 1. And it's launched on April the 13th, and this is the first commercial one as well. So that geosynchronous orbit you were explaining to me the couple shows ago, just get it going at the right pace, leave it, it's there, it stays.
Right.
1974. Now, I thought that might have been earlier. But no, 74, first geosync orbit.
Okay. Yeah,
for commercial use.
Oh, commercial, yeah. Right. Okay, that's different.
1970.
Yeah, there we go. Donahue on November 6, 1967. I had no notes on this because I've heard this trivia question before. Donahue hosted his first guest, atheist Madeline Murray O'Hare.
Easy booking, I imagine. Because who else would have wanted her but morning television?
Well, Playboy wanted her to do a big interview.
Big interview?
Yeah.
Sure.
Though he would later call her message of atheism, quote, very important. He also stated she was rather unpleasant and that off camera she mocked him for being Catholic. That sounds like Madeline.
Donahue's just
I doubt he shed a tear when they found what was left of her.
Nice Irish guy.
In a field somewhere near Austin, Texas, I think it was.
Oh.
He had to kill her son and grandmother, too,
that's
though.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's a little overboard.
Now, this one I like, 1976. I have a lot of these. I used to be given these as presents.
I remember when that was in.
Yeah, to commemorate the 233rd birthday and part of the bicentennial, which is more to the effect, the U.S. Treasury Department will reintroduce the $2 bill as a legal Federal Reserve note.
That's right. We should have mentioned that. Jefferson, of course, is on the $2 bill.
Yeah.
Now, on the back is what? Isn't that painting by John Trumbull?
It's the room in Philadelphia, right?
Well, the signing of the Declaration or whatever.
Yeah.
That was Trumbull, wasn't it?
Yeah. Have you ever tried to use a $2 bill out in public?
No, people can save them now. I don't know.
They do.
I don't have any. I haven't seen one.
But it became a real thing where grandparents would give kids. Did you have that? My grandparents
I got nickels.
I'd get a two.
Jefferson was on that too.
I would get a nickel, but Armand, I would get a Buffalo nickel.
Oh, geez.
Which were, you know, I thought.
I think if I were you, I'd put it between your teeth, see if it bends.
I don't know how much real silver is in a Buffalo nickel, but.
How about what's the other one? A Columbia quarter or whatever? Remember those? Weren't those real valuable?
Occasionally they give me wheat pennies.
Wheatbacks, yeah.
Yeah. You called them wheatbacks?
Yeah, wheatbacks, yeah.
Because
that was on the reverse.
On the backside, on the reverse.
As opposed to the obverse.
Right. But yeah, and I bet my wife has got. I bet she's got $400 worth of $2 bills.
Yeah? Where does she keep them? I'd like to go see those. What other valuables does she have lying around?
None.
Okay.
None. None. I don't buy my wife pearls or diamonds. Her grandfather would give her $2 bills. I thought that was just...
All right.
I thought that was neat.
What was that one? Remember Rolling Thunder, that movie Rolling Thunder with William Devane? He came back from Vietnam. They gave him like a silver dollar for every day he spent, and then they robbed him. Luke Askew, another, put his hand in the garbage disposal.
Yeah.
Good movie. Tommy Lee Jones was good in that movie, remember?
That's early Tommy
Lee.
Yeah.
Remember they went down to Tijuana to find him?
Yes.
Let's clean him up. Man, they kicked some ass. We got to get that.
I'll talk to E about procuring that. Good movie. Dude, I bet I haven't seen that since
I was 12,
13 years old.
Oh, man.
1987, Macau. Well, it's a huge destination now. You can gamble your ass off there.
I think there's more revenue in Macau now than Vegas.
It is. Yeah, it superseded more. Vegas quite a number of years ago.
I don't know. Here again, I don't know if this is PC. Asian people love to gamble.
No, it's a fact.
Well, it may not be PC, though.
I don't know.
You're not supposed to say
you're not
it's
saying
racist.
Anything derogatory. You're saying that this sect, this demographic, okay?
This is even less PC. They're very lucky people. I never play against an Asian dealer.
No, that is un-PC.
Well, I'm sorry.
You and your
They're
cousin.
Lucky.
No, because
What's
he,
wrong with that?
Well, I've been with him. He won't go to an Asian blackjack dealer, and that's totally racist.
It's not. They're too good.
It's
they're
not,
better than we are.
It's not that.
They're lucky.
It's
they're,
not,
they're Buddhists.
Luck
we're Christians.
Has nothing to do with it.
I know. It's religion.
No,
Buddha smiles on them.
It's
we're not supposed to gamble. Buddha has no problem with
probability.
It. So they always win.
It's probability. That's it.
That's a little tip of the day.
Here's where the house gets an extra edge. From guys like you who, instead of just playing it straight and walking away when you get up a little, think you're going to bend the system.
I just don't play against Asians. That's all.
Oh, please. That's
they're
all.
Lucky people.
No, they're not. What's
luckier
their okay?
They're
what's
luckier
their,
than we
what's
are.
Their lucky number if they're so lucky?
They don't have a lucky
yes,
number.
Yes, they do.
They just have luck.
Our lucky number in the West is generally 7. In Asia, it's 8.
Okay. Well, I don't play blackjack or craps against them either. Anyway, that's just a little gambling tip.
You
can take it. You can ignore it as you wish.
That's completely racist on your part. Now, Macau, though.
All right.
From Portugal, signed with China, the agreement returns.
Yeah.
The colony.
What's all this?
Well,
up
Hong Kong got returned as well.
Yeah. So what?
1999.
Just because the British are stupid doesn't mean they have to be.
These two should have never returned these things.
Well, I don't know. Maybe China. I don't know. Who knows? They could take them anytime they want.
Right.
But anyway, why give it away? Like Carter gave away the Panama Canal.
Hong Kong really introduced China to capitalism. Part of the reason.
I don't know about that.
Well, no, I do. Come on. You ever been to Hong Kong? I haven't been.
No, I'd love to go there. That's one place I would like to go.
And I'd like to go to Macau.
Got more skyscrapers too. In New York. I like that.
You like the skyscrapers?
Hell yeah.
No, it's a hell of a looking city, I'll tell you that. On this date, 1996.
What's that in the middle of the. Is it the Queen Elizabeth or something? The ship that sank out there?
Yeah, it's still in the harbor.
Which one? Is it QE or QE2? Or
QE1.
QE.
Yeah.
That's where they had James Bond.
James Bond movie goes on the ship. Remember, it's all slanted?
Yeah.
And then he opens the door and M's sitting in the office and it's all now leveled.
Well, it's not like the Batcave. So,
what a classic scene.
That was the one with Man with the Golden Gun, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because that one had some good scenery because they were into those Thai islands that are really ornate, really unusual geographic looking. Just beautiful.
Rocks out of the middle.
I think it's the Phuket Islands or something. I'd have to look that up. Yeah. But that's another spot I'd love to go.
Christopher Lee.
Britt
Eklund.
In the white suit.
Yeah, dude, and Hervé Villechaize. Put him in the suitcase.
He's got the look.
I've never killed a midget before.
Now that's politically incorrect. Oh, when he walks in, when he has that little matching suit, man, that's
pretty funny. Scaramanga.
God. All right.
It got a little crazy with the karate school and all that.
No doubt.
Although that was pretty funny when he kicked the guy. He's bowing.
Yes, as he bows.
Remember what Bruce Lee said? Never take your eye off your opponent.
That guy
even
bows.
Even when you bow.
Roger Moore whacks
him right in the face.
Then that jumps into the speedboat scene with the weird-ass American.
Yeah, he's still alive. That's
American tourist guy?
Yeah, that's I can never remember his name. What the hell? Sheriff
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, well, I'm just talking what his real name is too.
Oh, shit.
God, all right, let's. Well,
what a
proceed?
Good,
I'll think.
Damn,
of it.
What a good.
J.W. Pepper.
J.W. Pepper.
Yeah, because he was in Live and Let Die too.
Yes, he was. Very good.
Secret agent on whose side? You get my brother-in-law, Billy Bob. Yeah. J.W.
That
Pepper.
Guy. Oh, if Jackie Gleason hadn't been Sheriff Buford T. Justice, it would have been that guy.
Well, that's kind of the same. Yeah, obviously, it's the same. What was that guy? The guy's name, though.
You figure it out.
I'll think of it.
Let me tell you one more event that happened. 1997, youngest golfer ever to win the Masters.
Who else?
A win for the ages.
How old was he?
Tiger?
Yeah.
He's 21.
Jeez. What happened to him? He didn't play this year, right?
No.
What happened to him?
No.
Is he all washed up already?
Washed up?
Yeah, he's not playing anymore. Well, he's only got to be like 40.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean, if he has a comeback, it'll be.
Nicholas won at what, 53 or something? How old is he, 50?
Nicholas won it at 46.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Okay, it's still pretty good.
Well,
this guy can't.
No, it's possible.
This guy's a mess.
He's a mess. Ty, it all went down.
So he's done?
Yeah, I think so.
He's not going to play on the seniors tour and all that crap?
I don't know. His wife's got most of the money.
Oh, I'd love to be a Tiger. That's the guy to be. I always want to be, you know, you're not going to get beat up. You're not going to get injured.
No.
You're going to have brain damage.
No, you're not going to have brain damage. That's for sure.
You're a golfer.
You could get injured, but not horrifically.
Clifton James. That's the guy. He's still alive. You know who else he was? J.W. Pepa, but he was also, remember Cool Hand Luke?
Yes.
He was the guard. He was the guard in the barracks.
Ugh.
No playing grab ass. Anybody plays grab ass, you spend a night in the box.
I got I got two things.
Clifton James. He's like 92.
Yeah, he's got to be. Two things.
I got a couple more.
So I've got 2009, 2015. Who do you have, Armand, on your death watch today?
Well, I got 2008.
Who do you have there?
John Wheeler. John Archibald Wheeler. Yeah. Physicist.
Okay.
Of course. We had a lot of grad students. Feynman was one of his students.
Mm-hmm.
Coined a couple terms maybe even you've heard of.
Oh, let's
black
see.
Hole.
Black hole sun.
Wormhole. Quantum foam.
I've not heard it. Whoa. Quantum
foam.
Foam?
Don't ask me what that is. But,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've read about it. Worked on the Manhattan Project.
All right.
Unfortunately, his brother during World War II, I guess he knew what he was working on. He was in Italy fighting the Germans. Sent him a postcard. Hurry up. Yeah. Unfortunately, he didn't make it, and Joe was killed. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't that
bad?
Isn't that terrible? Yeah. But that was all he put on the postcard.
Hurry up.
Yeah, he knew what was going on. But this book he wrote with another grad student of his, Kip Thorne, and this other guy, Misner, both grad students, Gravitation, which is like the textbook of general relativity. I think they wrote it in 73, and it was used for a long time.
Wow.
A lot of these physics guys use that as a textbook.
Okay.
So, yep. So I guess you can probably get it on Amazon if you're inclined.
Check it out. Try it. Yeah. Give it a shot. ThisDayInHistoryPodcast.com. Look for our Amazon banner and click on it and type in the book Gravitation. Maybe try Gravitation textbook by John Wheeler.
Kip Thorne. Yep. Apparently, the guy would like to teach. Now, these guys, guys like John Wheeler, who's one of the best physicists in the world, they don't teach, pussies. This guy kept teaching freshman and sophomore physics, I think at Princeton.
Whoa.
Yeah. They let the grad students do that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Not him.
Not him.
And Feynman was like that, too. Feynman liked to teach first-year physics.
Okay, let me ask you a question then about, because you mentioned Princeton, you mentioned physics.
Yeah.
If I enrolled in Princeton 1951. As a science major.
Yeah.
Would I have been in a lecture with Einstein?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, you probably could have gone to lectures that anybody could go into, public lecture, but he's not going to teach a course.
Okay.
Like this guy's teaching physics.
Gotcha.
Feynman does too. You can go on YouTube and see Feynman's lectures on physics. I highly recommend them. And he's like, he explains it so anybody. And that's what he always thought.
He brought it to the everyman?
Yeah, get rid of all this math and bullshit. I want you guys to learn these concepts.
And he could
explain it. Like, that's what happens. Yeah.
Okay.
At the, quantum level and the physical level.
Well, I don't know if I told you. When we visited Princeton, when my daughter was touring colleges, they start you off in the Einstein Lecture Hall.
Well, that figures. That's
and
a good place for
you're
it.
You're sitting there, and then when they tell you that, you're like, oh,
I got a buddy of mine whose daughter is trying to get in college. Yeah. Oh, what a pain in the ass that is. I had no idea.
Tough,
Fred's
man.
Trying to help him. Fred's
tough.
Being nice and trying to help him
that's
out.
That's right. Okay.
And then I also got, this guy died in 1918, so we're a little bit
that's
before.
Okay.
Kornilov.
Excuse me?
Lavr Kornilov. You ever heard of the Kornilov affair?
No.
All right. It's 1918. the Russian,
actually, the Roman
1917.
The Romanovs are on their
way
out.
Yeah, they're gone. They're dead. Yeah.
And, or they've already
Kerensky,
been killed?
Yeah, Kerensky's taken over, a provisional government.
Okay.
Kornilov thinks they're still fighting the war, which is a big mistake.
Are we fighting reds and whites now? Or,
no,
or
they're fighting the Germans.
They're still fighting
still
the Germans.
Fighting.
Okay.
So Kornilov wants this 1917, and he wants to get the army together, and he tries to have a little coup d'etat, and that doesn't succeed in Petrograd. He's captured, but he escapes. Then he starts fighting the Bolsheviks.
What city is Petrograd today?
St. Petersburg.
So that city keeps getting renamed.
Yeah, Petrograd, Leningrad. Well, St. Petersburg, then Petrograd, then Leningrad, then back to St.
Petersburg.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, that didn't work out. Actually helped the Bolsheviks because he weakened Kerensky, and Kerensky was never – because this guy was very popular with the army. And once they put this guy down, the army wasn't real happy about Kerensky. And then the Bolsheviks took over. Although this guy fought. He escaped from jail and fought the Bolsheviks, and they killed him. So anyway, he's good. He's not a bad guy. Kornilov. It's called the Kornilov Affair. I'm sure there's a book on it if you want to.
Sounds like a good
go
screenplay.
To those lengths.
All right, I only have two deaths today on my side of the ledger there, Armand. I've got Mark Vidrich, the bird, great pitcher, Detroit Tigers.
Okay.
Passed away in 2009.
What happened to
him?
He
was young.
Cancer?
Yeah, he was only 55 years old. Then I have a novelist I've always meant to read his work.
Yeah, I don't know about this guy.
And I was going to see if you had an opinion.
Well, I saw the movie, The Tin Drum, and it didn't look like something I want to read.
But Günter Grass. Yeah. The German novelist is sort of, they call it German.
I bet he drank dark beer, huh?
They did. Yeah. They call it German magicalism.
I've heard that term.
Okay.
Magicalism.
I don't know
what that means.
I don't know either, but he's a poet, playwright, illustrator.
These literary guys, they've got names for everything.
I know. They have subgenres of subgenres.
Like artists, you know? The neoclassical Fauvist.
He's a Nobel Prize laureate. You know, he passes away on this date in 2015, just 2 years ago. But if you ever been in a bookstore,
These guys. Yeah.
You've probably seen these books. It's the Danzig trilogy, the Tin Drum, Cat and Mouse.
Tin Drum, the one where that kid screams at everybody.
Yes, and beats the. Yes.
What was that? Okay.
It's unsettling. That's what it is.
That'll win you a Nobel Prize, I guess.
But the Tin Drum, Cat and Mouse, and Dog Years are his big trilogy.
Never
the Danzig
read any
trilogy.
Of them. Listen, if you want to read it, go ahead. It's got to be better than Beckett.
I make no guarantees.
I'd rather read a stall in a urinal or in a toilet than read Beckett, but that's my opinion. Waiting for Godot.
I don't know how many German authors I have actually ever read.
Well, I've read Heinrich Heine. I've read some of his. Rainer Rilke. He was a good poet.
Okay.
I've read Goethe, of course.
Yeah.
You've read Goethe, I guess. And then Remarque. You've read All Quiet on the Western Front, haven't you?
No.
Okay, that's a good
book.
That's
a novel. I mean, I'm talking novelist, not just philosophic.
Well, that's a novel.
Philosophics, you can read Germans all day long.
Martin Heidegger, you want to read those guys. Nietzsche, you'll go crazy reading these guys. You'll kill yourself. If you want to be suicidal, read Heidegger. Schopenhauer.
We don't recommend that you read Heidegger. Nah.
But if you do kill yourself, get the knife on Amazon. Well, come on. Give us a little love. If you're going to slash your wrists anyway or get your Medicaid. Hey, did you see that... They got to kill those people in Arkansas before the midazolam expires.
Oh,
did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead. But you know, you've seen these guys? They're bad news guys, rapists and killers, and they've been on death row for 25 years. Hell with that. Kill them. What is this? This is crazy.
Again, you know my thoughts on the death penalty. It's just cheaper to let them wear out than it is to go
really?
Through all this
for 25 years. You're telling me it's cheaper.
Right? I don't know. I'd love to see a real accounting of how much money is spent.
I don't care.
On
the family of one of these people that was killed. You might have a different.
I would have a different opinion.
Right. So you got to put yourself
in their
shoes.
But I'm not, and I try to empathize. I really do.
I don't know.
I
read some of these guys have done.
Oh,
what is this guy doing alive?
It's inhumane.
Yeah.
You know it. I know it. We all know it.
Right.
Right. Okay.
And they're guilty. There's no.
That's the thing. They're
that's
guilty.
That's what we argue about. Is there a question of guilt?
Yeah,
you don't want to kill an innocent man.
Not
obviously.
Here.
I get that.
Not here.
But boy, oh boy, come on. Anyway, how do we get on that? Well, it's the deaths. We're talking about deaths.
And you talked about some medication, and I forget.
But anyway, on a happier note, we'll all roll Easter eggs this Sunday. And
yes, we will. Well,
I'll be in the office. I'll be right here.
The April the 13th show, Armand, I am happy to say, arousing.
Are we going to have one tomorrow? It's Good Friday.
Yes, we will.
We don't take a day off?
No, we're going to break down the events.
Even
of the
stock market's closed.
What we're going to do is Armand is going to reenact the Passion. And
no, why don't we just play the robe for everybody? And
listen to Richard Burton. Right, how about this? You know, there will be some.
What's your favorite? Well, we'll go over our favorite biblical movies.
We'll definitely touch on for Good Friday.
Yeah, well, we're kind of religious today. You're playing the Messiah.
Yeah, there's a couple new ones that are sort of interesting. I'll touch on tomorrow.
What, movies?
Yeah.
Ben-Hur is a piece of shit.
No, not that. I've come across two on cable that are intriguing. And I don't know where they came from. I don't remember them being in theaters.
Australian.
It's not Mel. It's not Mel either. They just suddenly appeared.
They're all produced by Jews, of course.
What's the irony of ironies? Yeah,
I always found that ironic. Okay.
Hey, there's
King of Kings by Saul Weintraub.
There's good coin here in this.
Why not? What the hell? Who cares? Well, I've already insulted the Asians, I guess. No, I'm not going to go against the Jew. You know, I'm a big Israel supporter.
I know you are. And it's not that the Jews don't believe that Jesus.
Yeah, but I don't know where it's an insult to say people are lucky. What is wrong with that? That's not racist.
No, it's not that. It's an insult that you won't go to a table.
Not because I don't
like
talk to
dealing.
Them. I'll eat with them. I'll have anything. But I don't want to gamble with them. They always win. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, wait. Are you saying the dealer or like?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Because here's what I'll do. This is racist. I admit it.
Uh-oh.
If I see a group of Filipino ladies hitting it on slots, I try to find a slot machine in that group.
Well, I don't know about how that works.
Well, one, they play forever.
Yeah.
So one thing is, either they warm up a machine. Or
I don't know if that works either. You know, they talk about that, but I'm not sure about that. All I'm saying is, and I have no science.
I could always find my Aunt Helen playing video poker in Vegas with a group of Asian tourists. And they'd be playing all night.
Okay. Well,
you know,
could be another gambler's
fallacy. They play all night on something like $20.
Yeah, well, they're playing penny slots.
No, they're playing low stakes, but come on. Even 20, they'd make $20 last 5-6 hours. That's a hell of a deal. Yeah. Where are you going to get 6 hours of entertainment for $20?
Well, you purchase the Godfather trilogy Amazon.
You could.
That's where.
Yeah, you could.
Okay. But, you get more than 6 hours.
If you watch the Godfather, you don't really have a chance to win anything either.
Yeah, or lose. But
or lose.
You have fun. I'd rather do that than sit in front of a slot machine.
I don't know, man. When you get that, when the bug bites you, Armand.
Even $20. I'd rather put on a crap table for a pass, and then you're done. You know, okay, if you win, you go home. You lose, you go home.
No, if you win.
I spend 6 hours.
If you win, you go to the buffet.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna eat.
All we're doing is trying to play until we're 20 up, and then we're heading to the buffet.
I'm going to the buffet tonight.
There you go.
At the Argosy. Yep.
All right, April 13th, we thank you for tuning in. When April 14th rolls around, we're going to be here to tell you about it. Thanks to producer Andrew Allen. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast, as well as subscribe, folks. And when you do, if you would, please leave us a 5-star review. You can subscribe at any major podcast outlet, whether it's iTunes, whether it's Stitcher, whether it's Podbean. Please do so. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.